And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. And so it was, when the demon had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. And Jesus said, I cast out demons with the finger of God. This is our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In Lakey's Family Book of Prayer, most of you have that. This gospel is the gospel reading for the third Sunday in Lent. It has been from time and eternity. There's some scary things here, some very dark things. But like Lakey says, Jesus here clearly teaches that either you're of God and belong to Him, or you're of the world and you listen to the voice of the devil. Thankfully, Jesus has given most of you, I think, unless you were converted later on in life by His Word, and that same Spirit, most of you were given faith. God did not leave it to chance for the devil to be a part of your life and lead you around with a ring, so to speak, through your nose, through all of the dark valleys of the world, as if you didn't know God, don't know how to pray, and don't have His Word on your lips and in your mind and in your heart. After Peter in Acts 2 spoke to the people about Jesus who died for them and rose for them, and he called them to give an account of their sins, and he said, it's for you that Jesus went to the cross. They were pierced to the heart. And they asked Peter, in essence, since God has worked this sorrow in me on account of my sin and given me a marvelous Savior like this to cover me, what should I do? And Peter didn't hem-haw around. He said, repent. In other words, apologize to God that it's your sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, no exception, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and the forgiveness of sins. And this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, in other words, away from God. That's what we're born with, no faith in God, none at all. So God doesn't leave us by ourselves. In fact, we see Jesus in the Gospels coming to avail Himself of those who are quite in trouble. They can't hear, they can't see, they can't speak. In fact, the psalmists say that's what people are like without knowing Jesus. They're like idols. They have ears, but they don't hear, eyes, but they don't see, mouths, but they don't speak. And those who make them are like them. And since God hates idolatry, then He gives His word of rescue so that we don't fear, love, and trust anything more than we do our Savior who came to be with us, was crucified, died, and was raised 3 days later, and then ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you with His blood, and then also preparing a place for you, so that where He is, there you may be also. Most of the world today does not believe in the devil, nor most of the things in the Bible. They don't believe in sin, or a heaven, or hell, or even God's forgiveness, or that He loves. By nature, on our own, we won't. We will not, because sin has infected the whole world's population, and it gets passed on from generation to generation. Psalm 51 says, in sin my mother conceived me. God asks the question, I think it's Psalm 32 or 31, is there any that fear God? And then He answers it for Himself, no, there's none. Nobody trusts, none on their own. So this begins to form a picture for us why Jesus would make Himself available to this man. Matthew in chapter 12 tells the same occurrence, and he says that there was a man who not only couldn't he speak, But there was one brought to him who was demon-possessed. He was blind and mute. And then remember the other fella in Mark 7. He was deaf and he couldn't speak. These aren't just bad genes or an accident in biology. In fact, the picture of the scripture shows us that behind the scenes, when things aren't right physically, it's the result of sin in the world, in our bodies, and the devil who brought this whole nasty business to the front. And so is it any reason, there's no reason for God to leave people in this horrible situation. And so Jesus, no, actually, this guy has friends. Somebody brought him to Jesus, who was demon-possessed, blind, and mute. And what did Jesus do? Oh, it's all right. Oh, you're just born that way. Well, get over it. Oh, poor you. No, those are the voices of the world that do not know the Scripture. Jesus was living Scripture. He was God in the flesh. And immediately he heals him. He doesn't ask him if he's decided to follow Jesus. He won't and can't on his own. By nature, we're hostile toward God, dead in our trespasses and sins, and at enmity with him. Not only with the evil one, but because of what he's sown, seeds of vile sin inside of us, we won't fold our hands by nature. We will not look up. We will not seek out God's word. No, each man will do what's right in his own eyes, and then he'll die and go to hell because his choice was horrible. Why would Jesus leave humanity like that, alone with that sentence of death on them? It's still the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus didn't run and hide. That's why he didn't work 7 days a week and never go into church. That's why he feared, loved, and trusted his Father. That's why he had godly parents so they could raise him up in the fear and admonition of his Father to trust the gospel, to know that it was him, this sinless and spotless Lamb of God, who was going to be the healing salve for the world's infection. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Flip it over on the positive. With the forgiveness, with the shedding of blood, there is forgiveness. And when you have forgiveness, then you can live. Then your ears are unstopped. Then your eyes see the gospel clearly. Then your mouth has something to say. Otherwise, it's just an insult to God. You don't acknowledge that he's given you a tongue or created your eyes or given you ears. Let alone faith. No, on the contrary. God has opened our eyes, just like he did this blind and deaf mute. And he's placed his Spirit in us. Whatever that is, it's something inside of us that we lost at the fall. Our first parents were to blame for that, and so was the devil. But there's this static disconnect that we know there is a God out there. Who is he? Well, if you look in your history books like we did in grade school, well, maybe he's the Inca God. How'd you like to join that religion? They'll march you up to the top of those wonderful pyramid-like edifices and cut your head off and watch it roll down the stairs into this big pile to try and make things well between you and your God. No, I think I'll check that one off my list. How about the Native American God? All right, that's part of our country, right? The wind and the fire and the rain. And then the spirit ancestry. No, I'm a child of God and God has told me no, that's not pleasing or acceptable to him. He created the world and everything in it, including the wind and the rain and the people who live in it, but he's forbidden us to worship them. Nope. Remember Lent 1's gospel lesson? Jesus went toe-to-toe with the devil. And because you are also his sons and daughters, we know you shall not worship anything or anyone except the Lord your God. And he's revealed himself to us as a God who has mercy, as a God who has what? He's our Father. A God who won't leave us in our mess and say, well, you got to work it out, boy. I taught you well. You just go ahead and give it a try. What kind of father is that? Well, and even if you had fathers that were like that, unmerciful, demanding of what they had no business unless they helped you, or whatever it is, maybe you didn't have a father or a stepfather or someone to lead you and mentor you. You have God as your Father, and he's explained himself quite well to you who he is and who you are in relation to him and how that occurred because of this Christ. And so now this man who was mute and couldn't see or hear has all the reason to rejoice. And the crowds, what do they do? Well, this is what the world will do. Oh, what are you doing in church? Oh, you're going to church on Sunday. Okay. That's what they'll do. I've got other things to do. I've got a job. I've got responsibilities. Or I worked all week. I want to go have fun. But the child of God says, no, I have an old Adam that needs to be killed because he's had his way and he's denied that he even believes in God this week. And I've done things and said things and thought things that are not pleasing to him. So I need to go into his house and just have a little talk with him and tell him I'm sorry. And no place on earth do we hear these words, I forgive you, than we do in church. That's my Father's house, and I'm his child. He's made me that by virtue of my baptism. And I need to hear his words, because my spirit hurts because I've disobeyed him in thought, word, and deed this past. No, I don't think I'm going to go play and drink beer this Sunday, or the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, and the next month, and the year after that. No, I'm a child of God, and I have a place to be, and a person to hear, and songs to sing, and prayers to offer, and a body and blood that's promised to feed me, and to be reminded of my adoption of grace in my waters of baptism. This is our Lord going to bat for us. This is what he did. And Sunday after Sunday, not because he had to, not because he didn't have anything else to do, but because he was the Father's Son. And before Lent began, he stepped into those waters of the Jordan River, and he heard the voice encourage him from heaven who said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." No, Jesus wasn't going to leave this deaf, mute, possessed man by himself any more than he would you or me or anyone else in the world. And so he has the gospel preached into the world. And preach just doesn't mean standing here in the pulpit and hearing the gospel, although that's efficacious and good for our faith too. But once the church has heard one more time, God has cleaned you up and you're a new child in Christ Jesus. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought at a price, and that was the price of God's Son dying and rising for you. Go in peace now. My Monday has meaning, so does my Tuesday, and my February, in my 30s years. Because that little gospel light, that little good news of the gospel goes with me. And maybe it encourages my husband, who's still an unbeliever. 1 Peter talks about that. If you can't win your husband by a word, then just be an example to them. There's also people that you work with, and retire with, and play with, and drive with, and go to the store and meet them. They're still like this deaf, demon-possessed man. They're doing the devil's bidding. They just don't know it. They don't know how wonderful it is that God's revealed himself to them as a God who has mercy on them, that adopts them into family. It's going to last more than your family and mine. It goes with us into heaven. And this God never changes his mind about you or is fickle. No, he's still always a God that has mercy. And a God who teaches, and a God who leads, and a God who shapes and mentors us. And all of that comes to us just pouring out through his word to us. And faith is glad for that. Our identity is secure We don't listen to the devil, nor the world, nor even that little voice inside of us that sometimes says, "Oh, go ahead, Kim. Just do unto others before they do unto you." Kim's like, "Where did that come from?" Although it'd be nice to do that once in a while, just reach out and kick him in the shins. No, probably, and that's God who guides us. So instead we pray for our enemies and those that hate us. And we tell that old story of Jesus and his love. That's why he's loosed our tongues. Not so we can just flap it out the window and blabber and gossip and slander God and our neighbor. No, but, "O Lord, open thou my lips and place on them. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." It's a marvelous miracle that Jesus does in front of these folks here. He is our strong one. We don't have to do battle on our own with the devil. No, he's already cast out of our lives, out of our minds, out of our thoughts. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a hater of Christians. He's a liar from the beginning, but like water off a duck's back, none of his accusations stick. All of his hatred is a lie. And Jesus is our defender. He's our fortress. He's our stronghold. He's our Savior. In the meanwhile, ungodliness, it's out there. And it's in here. We still have that Adamic nature inside of us that wants to scream and fuss and fight over that new man in Christ. Yeah. But Christ prevails and the gospel wins. So I will be saved and I will be surrounded by God's grace. And death, you cannot end my sadness. I am baptized into Christ. Satan, drop your accusations. I am baptized into Christ. Sin, you cannot, whatever the hymn is. I can't think of all three stanzas, the first line. But learn that hymn. That's our identity in Christ. And it's very frank with all of the unholy Trinity so that we know I have comfort even stronger. Christ Jesus, my Savior. Yeah, blessed are you. Because Jesus, in the earlier gospel with the same account, says, "These are my mothers and my brothers." The end of the reading for today. Those that hear the word of God and keep it. For Jesus' sake and the world's sake. Amen. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and keep you with Christ until the day of his return. Amen.